Welcome to AB Testing Podcast, your modern testing podcast. Your hosts, Alan and Brent, will be here to guide you through topics on testing, leadership, agile, and anything else that comes to mind. Now, on with the show.
We should never, ever, ever do a live show ever, ever again. Hey, everybody, I'm Alan.
I'm Brent.
And this is take 4.5 of the A-B Testing 200 episode extravaganza podcast.
Yeah. Are you going to just let the intro continue?
It's going to fade out. This is the actual intro I put in the thing. So just, I'm in control now, I hope. Oh, my God. So, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing super. I'm super excited about this today. Like, yeah. So many milestones.
Oh, indeed so. So, yeah, that was utterly perfect. Now you all know what goes on behind the scenes. Not only do you get to hear Brent grunt and do stuff, stuff is going to happen. So today is April 3rd. What's special about April 3rd, Brent? I want three answers. Three for the three.
Oh, I was just thinking because it's 4-3. As in four.
Oh
the
my God!
Three,
like the old 3-4. This everything is coming together. 3-4-3 was the old interview series I did. Three questions for the one of the three listeners. This is 4-3. This is three things happened today on 4-3. Those three things are one, Brent.
This is our 200th podcast.
And what else, Brent?
This is actually our 10th anniversary of the release of episode 1.
And what else, Brent? I'm holding up three fingers now.
Yeah, I'm going to let you give that last one, because you're the one that did the ad campaign to make it happen.
Yeah, we have 1,000 Slack users. That's it. That's pretty cool.
Right.
That's a pretty number.
And Arendi's right. By the way, three orders of magnitude.
I know, it was better, and I already pointed it out, it was better than we were at 999 most of the day today, and it was a multiple of three.
Did you get your wife just to sign in? Is that what happened?
Actually, yeah. I needed help, man. I needed help.
I was so tempted earlier to say, hey, Katie, my daughter, Katie.
you don't want her to see how much of a bad time we give you there.
Yeah, that's right. 10 to the power of 3. No, but for me, like when I was saying 4-3, like to me, that's the answer to the question why we did this podcast.
Absolutely.
It was for the 3.
And it was surprising to me, a little reflection here, that you've all already listened to 199, where we went back and listened to episode 1. And I was a little surprised how... like we knew what we were going to talk about before we knew what we were going to talk about. And here we are talking about the same crap 10 years later.
Yeah. Or we were just one trick ponies and just come up with new ways of saying the same shit for 200 episodes.
maybe.
Yet another reason why there are only three listeners.
We have a couple things to cover on our side today. And also, I have some recordings to play, but maybe I thought we'd kick it off if someone had something to say or a question for us or anything. But before we get, think of your questions now. Before we do that, Brent, I want you to do, I'm going to keep to my order here. Anybody have any questions? Just chime right in. Otherwise, we're going to go into our next segment. Like we have segments. Defense professional. That's a great question, and we are not releasing the video tonight, just the audio like a normal podcast, because otherwise it would be something else that's not a podcast. And the question is, should Alan run a centralized test org? And that answer is fuck no.
I disagree.
And Brett, do you just want me to lose the bet with Jason?
No. I disagree because the best way to destroy dysfunction is from the top, from within.
Oh, actually, you know what? You're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Because if I ran a centralized test org, as I have done in the past, that org would be gone within a year, but not in a way that was dysfunctional to the org, in a way that actually helped the org accelerate. So if you want help, moving out of test into something new, I will come run your test.org for 1 year.
Yeah. The best way to get rid of command and control is put someone in command and control to remove command and control.
Oh, I got to figure out how to put that into my LinkedIn job description thing.
You should. It reminded me, there have been multiple times people are like, Brent, we want you to put you in charge of this. And I'm like, are you sure? Yes. Why? Because my first action will be to destroy the thing you want me to be in charge of.
So the thing is, especially about the last time I did this, nobody really noticed it was happening until it was done. And then I had to find the new job. It was great. Yeah, I believe it. People are afraid. I think people think they want to. This is Mel's question is, I've offered to run orgs to modernize things and I don't get hired. And it's true because people go, we want to advance. And then you show them, okay, I can help you advance. This is what it looks like. And they say, oh no, we don't want that. No. A little bit of advancement. A little bit.
Now, you cannot go in a lot of the times with that sort of outrageous idea. You got to have it internal, but you can't sell it like, oh, you want to be modern? I know the definition of modern. I'm going to take you there, because that's too scary. But what you got to do is go, oh, yeah, I know exactly the right thing to do here. And the first step is this. And you kind of hint that you have a vision and a roadmap, and you do, but you don't want to share it too early, because it's going to trigger people's riskometers.
I find the best way to do deep organizational change is to minimize the number of people you tell what you're doing. It has to be subtle and secret, and you do it in a way that people don't know what's happening.
Boil the frog.
Don't give me your stupid cliches. Hey, I have a question for you. We'll wait for more questions. We will be interruptible completely because we are the tangent-friendly podcast. But Brent, when you look back on the last 10 years, like, what do you think of? What are a couple of thoughts that come to mind?
I think about, particularly after last episode, because the guy will tell you, it was shocking. It really was. I don't know how you felt, but it was shocking to hear from Microsoft Allen again. and that just flashed me back. Like, it in some regards, it is interesting. Like, having the three on the call is fantastic. And I was thinking about 10 years, and I'm like, okay, have we had an impact? Right. In some regards, I can be on, you know, I can go quality assurance and find all the bugs and what we've been doing. Right. We're a bunch of two guys randomly talking bullshit every week. We're kind of there's some evidence that we're doing the same things over and over again. Has there been an impact? And, you know, the fact that we hit 1,000, we have people on the call today celebrating with us. Yeah, we have. I don't know what the impact was. I mean, MTP, coming up with that generated a lot of fun, like shaking the tree and getting people to, you know, spark a little, use a little controversy to spark a conversation amongst the traditionalists and what we called modern. That was not only fun, but I think it was if nothing else, we did that, right? We helped encourage a conversation. And that's what I want to continue to try to do.
Yeah. And by the way, MTP or Modern Testing Principles, you can read those at moderntesting.org. We did not, it was funny. Those of you who don't know the story, we have been talking about the changes in delivery for years and years and years. And then I think I had read Dalio's principles, and I gave Brent I think we should have principles, and tried to capture what we had. And there were, they went through a lot of iteration. It was very much an agile approach to developing these. We iterated a lot, and then we had the community give some feedback on them. And it wasn't until episode 77 where we first really shared them. That was called the conception of the modern testing principles. And we've dove deep into a lot of those. And as you all know, this is going to be a recap for our listeners, but we always thought seven, where we said that we drive quality throughout the team, I'm paraphrasing, and remove the need for dedicated specialists, even if that means you don't have dedicated specialists. Horrible paraphrase, but you get what I mean. We thought that was going to freak people out. But no, they said, okay, that makes sense, but damn it, don't you tell me the customers know the quality of the product better than I do. And that one kind of blew me away. Still surprised about that one.
Yeah, I'm not, and I'm actually surprised that you are, right? Because one of my favorite images was one of your slide decks, right?
I know which one you're talking about.
Right. It's essentially, hey, test, wake up. Like the clothes that you've been putting on, where we're the customer's advocate, we're the customer's champion, right? That's bullshit. And everyone in your business, except you and the other testers, know this.
And this was, and Percy will remember this, yeah, because way back when in the podcast, we're in the 20s, I think the first time I used that was in a presentation I gave at Test Bash called Testing Without Testers, kind of. And I talked about, you know, we're the blah, 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 blah. We're the last line of defense to these superheroes. And then I said, Brent's favorite slide, you know who else is the last line of defense? And I showed some people shoveling up shit behind horses in a parade. But
they kept those roads high quality.
They did. Yeah. They did. So maybe not. I think I was high on Eric Reese. So it just made so much sense to me that you had to have the customer input to understand quality. So
yeah.
Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit of reflection and then one thought I had. So 77, where we talked about the modern testing principles, probably one of our best episodes. I mean, more, I won't say best quality, but monumental as far as like starting something new. We really grew a lot from there.
I'm going to go 10 lower. And if you don't remember.
Oh yeah. That is one of our fan favorites, the traditional versus modern testing manager.
Yeah.
And we role played into what it's worth listening to. What would be a role would be a modern testing manager who thought about fast delivery and fast feedback loops and the typical old school, I am here to be your gatekeeper of quality. It was fun. People liked that
one. It was fun.
And if you want to go one more reflection, then I have one, two more reflections. If we go even 10 lower,
ooh,
we had a low point. We were playing with the idea of guests, and we had a guest, and I don't want to pick on him too much, but we had someone in talk about keyword-based testing, and it was a struggle for both of us. If I these days, if I were to do that same thing over again, I would push back much harder. I was too – Microsoft Alan was too polite, I think.
We're sorry. As much as that episode pained me, I actually do think the fact it woke up something in both of us, because I'm not certain we would have done MTP without that episode.
Maybe.
Because for me, it lit a fire. I'm like, this is so wrong. Right. I do know that a big part of that was in the back of my head when I played the role of the traditional test manager, right? It's one of those things, celebrate the fails. It's something that we talk about all the time. The only way to really commit a crime in this is failing to learn from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's something for us, by the way, about episodes that end in 7, because you go back 20 episodes from that, episode 37, that was the one that it at Test Bash Philadelphia that we did a whole A-B testing episode without Brent. So Vernon and Percy and Test Pappy, who we'll hear from later. He's sleeping in Europe, but through the magic of recordings, we're going to hear from him later. The four of us recorded a podcast backstage at Test Bash in Philadelphia. I remember it very well because I flew to Philadelphia the day after Donald Trump was elected. And I was in shock, in absolute shock. But I gave my talk, and one of my favorite moments there, I met Angie. Crap, I'm spacing out. What's Angie's last name? Angie, test automation, super smart guru of testing. Somebody in the chat helped me out because I am Angie Jones.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I met Angie there for the first time and we had a great conversation. She goes, I'm after you tomorrow, so don't make me look bad. And I didn't make her look bad. She's an excellent presenter. But I did this famous thing where I talked about bugs going back and forth, play a little game of ping pong on stage. And she comes up and she says, I told you to take it easy. Here you are playing ping pong on stage. And now it's like you can go way back when, you know, Taylor Swift opened for Keith Urban. And now Angie's the superstar and I'm less than Keith Urban, but that's the best I could do. Anyway, that was a fun, fun time. And then one last thing I want to reflect on before we move on is, and maybe nobody will get this comparison, because Brent, one thing listening on episode one is I have been giving you a hard time for 200 episodes, except for the one you were not.
No, you gave me a hard one on that one too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a hard time. Anyway.
No, because we gave you a hard time by not inviting you.
Right.
And but everybody knows, and you know that I like you and we work well together. And the thing is, I'm a big fan. My wife taught me to listen to the Pivot podcast. Anybody else listen to Pivot podcast? Maybe no.
Nope.
I'm looking
not
for
heard
the,
of it.
I see some typing. So Ryan, I think you're the one that posted about it in our Slack channel. I am Kara Swisher and Brent is Scott Galloway. Scott Galloway, super smart, knows his stuff. He's rich as fuck. Kara Swisher just gives him crap. They give each other crap all the time, but she like belittles him and it just rolls off, whatever. He gives her a little bit more back than you give me, but I think for the purposes of this comparison, I will say I am Kara Swisher and you are Scott Galloway. And that's my takeaway.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll
all right.
Pivot. yeah. Now, if we were to go into the second 100, right? Like, I'm looking back. Like, the first 100, I would say our number one repeat guest was Steve Rowe.
Oh, Steve Moore. Yes.
Yeah, we haven't talked to him in a hot second. It'd be interesting to have him back on and like with the QA perspective. And I would love to hear like how the LLM fad is hitting him.
Yeah.
But
one
Huggins,
thing, timing was
Huggins was a fantastic
and yeah, right. And he was there because I tweeted once. We can talk about Angie Jones again, because I tweeted once and I said, reason number 497, I hate Selenium. And I posted this ridiculously horrible, because I found it on the internet. Someone said, hey, I solved my problem by doing this. And it was ridiculously long selector sequence they used to get it to control in Selenium. Sure, it works. It's horrible as hell. It's awful. It's why developers should write automation. And I posted that and Angie got really pissed at me. And she was, I mean, she was right and wrong at the same time, but I recognized it caused her anger. So we had a conversation about it. In that conversation, Huggins drops in and all of a sudden is volunteering to be on our podcast. And we had a great conversation and it was one of my favorite guests ever. All my guests are the favorite except for the one in 57.
Yeah, no, they've all brought something that was fantastic. And I'm just going to be on the record. I've already told Alan this. It's been a hot second since he's done the 343. And I'd like to hear from our audience. Do you all agree that he should be bringing that back?
I can do it. I can do it. It's easy because those are fast. It's three questions. That's it. Three questions. It takes about 20 minutes. 30 minutes to record, about 20 minutes when it's done. I could spit those out.
It's hard to...
Mel, I think you already did one, Mel.
Yeah, Percy's there, Connor. You can always do it again.
But life changes.
But did you and Verna never do it?
No.
Yeah, you should fix that.
I could do lots. I could make a whole business out of those for sure. And for our high-paying podcast.
Did you ever talk to Aretti?
Yeah, I did Aretti.
Okay, I thought you did.
543.
Yeah.
All right. So, here we are. I lost my whiteboard. So, you want to play a game? What's on Alan's desk? Are we good for that?
Yeah.
Oh, before we do that,
did you ever come up with a theme song?
Well, not yet. I'm working on it. A friend of mine, not a friend, chef I know, I bought some wine from at his restaurant. Mm. Really incredible guy. He gave me a bottle of sparkling red wine. Can't see the sparkles, but I'm going to celebrate.
No.
Brent's going to have a PBR. Oh, that's good. I'll be back in a minute.
A PBR.
All right.
All right.
I don't have a theme song. Wait, what's on Alan's desk? I got, cheers, obviously, some red champagne. Cheers. I got the normal stuff I'm recording with. And I also have...
Oh.
This. It's a box. Grant, do you have a box like this?
I do have a box that looks remarkably similar to that.
I did not open. I did take the plastic off mine. It doesn't, oh, shit, Jim Moe popping in.
Holy crap.
One of the first members of the three. Oh, my God.
Moe Jim Moe. Yeah.
We haven't done shots since the day I left Microsoft.
No, that was...
We had tequila at 10 in the morning.
Group hug. Remember that?
9 in the morning, whatever that was. Ooh.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. So these are, by the way, we got these in the mail. We were told they were coming. We got our addresses. These are a couple gifts from our three listeners. Whoa. Styrofoam. Oh.
Did you open? Oh. Are you opening? Yeah.
I'm opening. I'll show it.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die.
That is so cool.
Absolutely going to die.
That is so cool.
Oh, my God. And the head moves.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's... Like, I am tempted in the honor of Jim Moe.
Like, how I have would a I do... cramp in my... I have a cramp in my...
Jim.
My side.
Now, Jim used to do meetings where...
Oh, he put the little sticky note over the automatic camera so it would just show a little drawn face. We had the fancy camera that would... So, by the way, this is a podcast, so I'm going to describe what I have here. This is a almost creepy, but in a cool way. This is a little doll bobblehead. Is it a bobblehead? I'm gonna call it a bobblehead.
It's a bobblehead
of me when I was thinner, wearing an A/B testing shirt, holding a microphone with headphones on. I got my glasses on. I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe I can post a photo somewhere. This is the coolest thing ever. Show me yours again, Brent.
You. And you have the thing I love about it is it yours comes with a full on Dusty Hill beard.
It had the old beard before I got it trimmed a little bit. I'm working on growing it back out.
Yeah, oh my God, this is fantastic. I love it, and I'm going to ignore that it is freakishly accurate and why the listeners are able to provide that.
This is super amazing. Hold on a second. Sorry, I have to show my wife. Great podcast material.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, so thank you three.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh my gosh, that is so
It is so cool.
I could just stare at it and laugh the rest of the podcast, but we're going to go on.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Hey, I would like to take this time. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know who to first draw first. someone join us and say something to us or make fun of us or tell us your favorite A-B testing memory or ask us a question. Got to click the little button. Should have planned ahead here. This is my first time using this platform for this thing. So there is a way, if you're a guest, you can click a little button and join us if you're not shy.
Who on the call is shy? Talking.
Nobody here is shy. I don't know what they're like. Like maybe Vernon's like in the middle of the night for you, right? 12:30. I guess we're no, they've moved. I don't know. But late for Vernon. All right, folks. We can just go on. Let me do this. Let me, at the risk of my Wi-Fi dying again, Test Pappy, Patrick Prill, who was one of the people I recorded with in Philadelphia and also had dinner with him in, where was it? Somewhere at some star conference. Anyway, great guy, longtime listener. It's literally like 3:30 in the morning for him, 4:30. So, but he did leave us a message.
Dear Alan, dear Brand, congratulations to 10-year anniversary or 200 episodes of the A-B Testing Podcast. What a ride it was, and I enjoyed every 200 episodes. Not that I started listening 10 years ago, but 9.5 years ago. And I always learned a lot from you guys. Not that I agreed to everything that you said, but you always left me with good ideas, with critical thinking, with my head buzzing after listening to another episode. You phrased a few terms that helped me understand how I work, so thank you also for that. And yeah, so accelerate the achievement of shippable quality is my mantra for years, and even if I forget it actively sometimes, when I look back, this is always what drives me. So thank you for helping that journey. And yeah, I wish you a fun 200th episode and well-deserved break. And looking forward to the next 200 episodes of A-B Testing Podcast. And greetings to all the three out there. Bye.
That's so nice. Great. Look, you did make an impact.
We did. Yeah. No, Patrick has been great. Like, the fact that he's like, I don't always agree. That's something we want, right? It's about the conversation, right? And in now we have joining us on the call is actually the first of the three I have ever met. Like, he even took a 2-hour train. I happened to be visiting in New York, and he took it. Oh, I'll show up. And we just sat and drank in my hotel and until he had to run away, I think. Or did I have to run away? I don't remember. One of us had to leave.
I had to take that. Thank you, guys. Yeah. So I had to take that trip because I worked in New York at that time. So that was a quick 5-minute walk from the office into the, what was that? The Hyatt?
I don't know.
Like that. Right in the middle of Times Square.
It was right off of Times Square, yeah.
Yeah, I did meet Steve Rowe there too, as part of your trip. So that was a good twofer for me. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about, because we had to top episode 100, right? We know we sent you those handwritten postcards that
still
we tried
have
to
mine.
Make something that's, you know, as personal as it can be, because you guys have made an impact to in as much as everything else that we do. We do acknowledge that you guys have made an impact within the community. So, but for this one, we actually tried to start early. So this, it was August 11. I was going through like the chats that I started. We started a secret channel, just like what we did the last time. And we added you on that day that you did a reveal. So you got to see the planning. But of course, Slack has their auto archiving feature after 90 days. So we can't go back to all of those conversations. But we had multiple iterations of what the gift was going to be. It was going to be as simple as a, you know, a certificate, like an ISTQB type. We were going to give you guys pretty much just looking through like the metrics in the podcast as, you know, like, congratulations, Brent, for having like 12,000 heavy breathing in the podcast or something like that. So we had those. We had. We even had like a certificate.
My squeaky chair.
So we even had like a certificate template and all that stuff. But then Ryan comes in with this really absolute, amazing idea, and everybody contributed to it. Went through, you know, PayPal, Venmo, whatever we can do to send, to give our contributions, and here we are, and that reveal moment when you guys opened the box. Thank you. That was amazing.
Oh, thank yeah. you. I mean, this is fantastic. Like I don't, so it's hard to focus on it, but I actually do have a dimple, and those details are in here. And I'm like, again, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do this. And this is probably one of those things where I don't want to know. But well done. I'm very happy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, our biggest great. Concern really was the timing, because this is hand painted, right? This is not just a 3D printing. This is hand curated by a person, and it was done specifically based on some photos that that Ryan has sent them. So, wow. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the lead on this one, and we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
The reactions are well worth the effort.
Yeah, so Percy is, we never timed this out. Like, he's sort of the official administrator of the Slack channel.
He started
it. Yeah, he started it. So he has permissions that I think other of the three don't necessarily have, and it's fine. Yeah,
I think he's the owner and you and I are admins, and that's it.
That's probably true.
I think I've given you the ownership, Alan.
Okay, cool. Yeah, now I can do fun things. Yep. And I want to rant for a second on Slack, because Slack, I wish they had, I would love to pay for a little bit better service, but either you can pay nothing and have no retention, or you can pay, you know, 10 bucks a user per month or something, like ridiculous, like 1,000 users. I could pay 10,000 a month. If I paid a year in advance for our, and it's just like, no, I can't. I would love if they had a hobbyist level, but they don't. Oh, well.
I'm surprised that they don't. Like their business plan.
I know they should, and whatever. But it's all, you know, we have, don't we have our backup Discord should it ever go worse?
Well, we can always go to Discord. I mean, there's a billion other places we could go. Yes. But
I did create the one of the three Discord
as a good group. Backup.
So I can hand that off too.
Noted. Well,
as
Adam, and Adam, great to hear from you. I didn't know you still listened to the podcast, but great that you've noticed that Percy is immortal and does not age. So he'll be around forever. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We should just... You should just transfer the Slack channel back to him.
Well. All right. Thank you. This is, they're incredible. I think I may take a picture of mine and use it for some profile pictures somewhere. I'll find the right background for it, but it's just amazing. So it just cracks me up when I look at it. I have to stop looking at it. I'll just keep on laughing. Brent's going to put his on his shoulder. Again, great for the podcast. while we wait for more questions to come in, Jimmo's got a drop. Yeah, Brent, Jimmo, we see your messages. Thank you. Let's have Vernon on. I don't even read the questions. I just click the green button and Vernon joins us. Vernon, it is great to see you.
Vernon!
Tester from Leicester.
Oh. Hey, greetings, you two. You two legends. My God.
Yeah, I don't know that that's true. You're a legend yourself.
That's definitely not true. Yeah. But thank you for joining us. What do you have to say?
Oh, I was just going to hype you guys up. I like to hype you guys up. So the thing, there's a few things that I really appreciate about what you've done with the Modern Testing Principles and the podcast. One of them is my favorite thing is the quality transition guide. That thing is absolutely fantastic. Like, that thing is so good. It's given me a really good way to describe the state or the situation that a team finds itself in without getting all, you know, specific about, oh, you're at level 3 of this thing, or you're at level 5 of this thing. It's more about behaviors and characteristics and problems that you're facing into. Lovely work. I absolutely love that. And one of my favorite episodes, aside from the one that I was on with you in Philly, that was absolutely genius and too much fun, was an episode you did with a guy called Ronald Cummins John, who was a friend of mine, who wrote a book called Leading Quality, which I recommend the three to read if you haven't read it already. And Ronald is a very entertaining individual. And so the three of you together was absolutely fantastic. So that was a very amusing and illuminating episode. So yeah, just wanted to give you a shout out. Thank you. I think I've been listening. If it isn't 10 years, it's like Paddy, it's almost 10 years. And it's really helped me articulate some things that I found difficult to articulate before. And the tagline of Modern Testing Principles is absolute genius. It's like not all that modern and not really about testing.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh every time I think about it. Because it's accurate. It's genius. It's very good.
Well, true.
Alan.
And you know, was it Janet and Selena? Somebody, yes. They wrote the book on on the quality culture transition guy, which is really good. So, do what you want with it. As you can tell, we're not in this for the fame. We're just trying to tell episode one, tell people what's going on in our words. And there was that quote from episode one where I was talking about something happening and someone said, Alan, this would all be revolutionary if it wasn't already happening. And then when I went to Test Bash, first time I presented the Modern Testing Principles at Test Bash in Brighton, 2017, I was worried because I'm saying things that may scare testers at a testing conference. And someone came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for putting a name to the thing we're already doing. I thought, shit, we're on to something.
Yeah.
I was at that point, I was scared we were still in too much of a bubble, but the bubble's getting bigger. That's great to see.
Yeah, definitely is. So yeah, cheers, guys.
Thank you very much, Vernon.
Man. Yeah, that. It's interesting because I think we're way past the tipping point of the curve there. Like I definitely think the more traditional thing is far more isolated, and, right? But I don't know. There's still enough people in the traditional world that science or otherwise will find ways to help them ease, right? If things like LLM, like I saw Jason was on, I don't know if he still is, I can't see the list, right? If LLM doesn't just, make things difficult for all anyway, I don't know. Thank you, Vernon. I'll just go to that. Like, yeah, this is great to hear from everyone. Like, Vernon actually came out to Seattle. I couldn't make it. It was my loss. Hopefully I'll be able to meet more of you in person. I will say, I actually, it's not something I'm comfortable bringing up on the podcast just yet, but there's been a situation that has occurred in my life, Alan's aware, that has forced me to actually get a passport. It's the first time I've ever had one, so I'm like, all right, now there's a whole new world of the world that I could go potentially visit. So I'm sorry.
I can't believe you don't have a – it just blows
me. I do have a passport. I just freaking told you that. But
I can't believe you haven't left the country before.
No, I did. I've been out – I mean, I've been to the Caribbean. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. But
those places require passports now. That was a long time ago.
But that's right. But I did it at a time where passports weren't required. Yeah.
Stupid American.
Well, if you come out this way, please let me know and I'll pull a Percy and I will
will
take whatever trains or planes or cars are required.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, you'll be on the short list if I win, I go out that way. Now that I have sort of the big bottleneck resolved, I am absolutely going to take advantage of it. But there's other difficulties in my way in the moment, but it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good luck with those. I can't wait to see you both in person as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Definitely, Vernon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being up in the middle of the freaking night.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Go to bed, dude.
Wouldn't miss it.
Jesus. Do you work tomorrow?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I still have to be up early.
All right. My guilt is much less. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Vernon. See you guys.
All right. I think before...
that was fun.
That was fun. This is so great to hear from all of you. Amit left me a message. I haven't even listened to it yet. He has a question. I think I already decided I'm putting the explicit tag on this podcast, so we'll see what he says.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Brent. Congratulations on your 200th episode. While I do hope that I'm sleeping right now when you're recording, I do have a question about promoting modern testing principles. And my question is, when to give up? Especially when treating a data oblivious organization. I mean, culture change is difficult. Even without looking at a specific content, you have to do some coalition building, you have to find some quick wins, and all of those regular office politics. So what signs would cause you to say that it's just not worth it, that it's too much of an effort, and that you don't believe it's going to work? Thanks.
Nice question. Let me start on that one. I should have did that earlier before I had a drink, but I think, like, I have a hard time giving up on organizational change. I do change my expectations. I may come in, it's like, I'm going to get the whole org to be data centric. And then I realize maybe in 20 years or some long amount of time, I look for the small wins, because when you do any, when you want to do any sort of organizational change, you have a small chunk of people who will, who want to innovate and do new things. You have a small group of people, maybe larger, who will actively resist any change, and a bunch of people in the middle waiting to see what happens. And what you do, and this is all from not all, but highly inspired by one of my favorite books on leading adaptive changes, Leadership on the Line by Ronald Heffetz. And you find the allies and you look for the tiny wins you can celebrate. Like, find the little things someone can do towards that goal. Anytime you're making a change, you have current state, desired state, next steps. And what you can do in a highly resistant org that just does not want to change is those next steps become very, very small. But you still look for anything at all you can do, like whether it's adding, just getting some data in place, a little bit more data, getting somebody to do something with it, getting somebody, that first time you get someone to make a decision on data, huge, huge win. Celebrate it. See if you can replicate it. But what I do, like, in short, when it's really, really hard like that and everybody's resisting, I change the goalposts and go for the goalposts stay the same. I change the scope of what I'm doing now to tinier and tinier increments until I can begin making progress. I don't know. What about you, Brent?
Unmuting.
What about you, Brent?
Unmuted. Sorry. So I am, in general, not the world's most patient person. I have at times given up. The approach, it's essentially, I have sort of a three strikes and then I'm out kind of policy where I go, this is a better way. I try to show it, right? To your point, like, while I feel it is possible, right? It's you look at the problem and you go, okay, what is the issue? Like, for me, as we just talked about, I feel like we talked about in this episode, is you sometimes can't go all the way to the end. It's too out of the box. They can't follow you. It feels complicated. It feels risky. Okay. And so part of it is, okay, how do you make it feel safer? There was a team I was on. Actually, this was when I went to Dev in Bing. I did things entirely different. And I got noticed because I was delivering value and results faster than everyone else. And they couldn't find a quality issue in terms of the work that my team was producing. And it was interesting when I finally left that team, or just before I left that team, we had a reorg. And my skip manager told my manager, like, yeah, I don't know how Brent is. I don't understand how Brent's thing works, but you are to leave him alone. Like, my skip told my manager to leave me alone. Like, your command and control crap not allowed here. And I was, that's when you have the momentum and you're able to build a plan. Now, at some point in time, you just get tired of beating your head against the wall. If give up means give up, then you never do that, right? For me, I have now got to a point where I'm like, okay, you know what? It's not me, it's them. And this is a business leadership. This is an environment where they aren't motivated to literally change. And what I do in that case, as we've said on the podcast, is either, well, paraphrase, you either change your job or you change your job. And I'm no longer interested if someone, we talked about it a great deal just recently. Like, I now know I cannot and will not work in a business environment that is entrenched by the fixed mindset. It's not going to work. And like Mel just wrote in chat, sometimes you have to plant seeds and walk away. Yeah, that's right on. Right on. You can't help somebody who doesn't think they need help. All you can do is sort of open the door, do your best to help them see. And if they can't, then it's just be patient, but protect yourself, right? When I finally left that particular team, after a few months, I had a long number of people reach out to me and say, now I get what you're trying to say, what you were trying to say this whole time.
Okay, so Brent, thanks for all that. But it reminds me of, I won't find the exact quote, but early this calendar year sometime, I got a message on LinkedIn from someone who I had some conflict with in the past. Can't quite remember it, but he says, the message was like, hi, Alan, I need to apologize for my outburst and some comments these past couple of years. I was part of a testing cult. I got out, and I'm currently getting rid of the brainwashing. So what we had done was planted seeds. And Mel's, I think, heard this from me before. It's like, and yeah, sometimes you have to walk away, but maybe I'm just more optimistic sometimes. But you drop the little ideas. And then eventually people go, oh, wait, maybe, just maybe, that weird guy with the beard was partially right. You never know. We have time for one more question or comment if someone wants to jump on. Otherwise, we can close up here and call it a night.
Well, I do want to say I'm trying to find it.
You'll never find it. Oh. Right? I can't edit this, man.
No, Hidden Potential. So that is a book.
Oh, I just read that book. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't read it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so it's right there.
Brent's showing the podcast picture of his phone. This is what I deal with every 2 weeks.
Kinda. That's great. And one of the like one of the things that they talk about, like that actually soft skills, it's written by a psychologist who did the research, and I
read Adam Grant.
Adam Grant, and I highly recommend this book. One of the things that his statement is saying is that in terms of sort of productivity and happiness and achieving goals and all of that thing, it's actually the soft skills that matter more than the hard skills.
And, absolutely.
And one of them is that there was like three, and everything comes in three. Like we talk about pink all the time. I don't have all the three memorized, but one of them was determined.
Autonomy, mastery, and purpose.
Right. That's I do. That's pink. But on Adam, he had another three, and one of them was determination. Like, determination goes far. It's when you give up that things become a problem.
All right. Ryan has a great question for you, Brent.
Okay.
It's not for me, because I know nothing about the answer. It's for you, Brent.
Okay.
All right. Hey, I just want to first say, I'm glad you guys like the bobblehead.
So love awesome. It. Love it. Trying to have it cover my own head. There we go. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Ryan.
So a couple episodes back, Brent, you were really kind of bleak on LLMs. Like, for a minute there, I felt like we had to call in the Terminator and Skynet was taking over. Just in my own experience, right? I work in the medical industry. We've built some of our own LLMs, and they're quite remarkable, right? So I want to know if either of you, really from both of you, has that changed? Like, do you still kind of have a apprehension?
Oh, it's fun, particularly since I know Jason is actually on the call. Jason, feel welcome to come in and call bullshit if you'd like. LLM never represented to me really, I'll put it this way. LLM to me represented the slippery slope. That's how I'll say it. Like, I see not enough people focused on ethics. They're doing things because they can now. And as the saying goes, the road to hell is paved on good intentions. So I was like, all right, okay, let's go forward, but let's not have any accidents here, because in the world that we're going into, there's no turning back from accidents. Right? And so I guess this LLM doesn't scare me nearly as much as LLM in the hands of the intellectually lazy. And that keeps me up at night.
Does the good outweigh the bad? Hard to say.
I'm going to answer that. I have an answer for that, because I did a little exploration, a blog post this weekend, and I posited, it's going to all tie back together. Yeah. It's not a tangent. I posited that like the data is out there showing what you need to do to create healthy orgs. It's out there. So why aren't people doing it? So I did some research. I've ended up just asking ChatGPT. It's because people either it comes from egos or intellectual laziness. So my answer to your question, right? Or fear. Yep. Yes. And fear is the ego. Fear is the ego. Those are the same thing. So my worry is that LLMs, the potential is the good outweighs the bad. Everything I have seen against LLMs, everything where people say, oh, this ChatGPT is dumb, it's all, every single thing where people are knocking them down come from the intellectually lazy or the people who think they know the answers so much better. Like they don't want to ask an LLM for the answer because I know it already. It comes from fear and intellectual laziness. And I worry there's too many. I mean, I don't know what the bubble, I don't know how big that population is versus the growth mindset who just wants to discover new stuff and figure out how things work in a proper way. So I'm a little afraid because I'm beginning the internet. My worldview is based on what I see on the internet. I'm a little worried because my worldview tells me that there are far more intellectually lazy and fear-driven ego people than I thought there were before I began exploring.
And actually it's even, there was an article I read, right? We're going to see, and Jason posted in the Slack channel today around Claude, .ai. We're going to see competition in the AI space. We're going to see people be able to reproduce, and actually we already are, people being able to either crowdsource and work together to build their own little generative AI. We're going to be able to see generative AI being able to be trained and developed on something like this.
That's a phone.
Right? And you put that in the hands of evil people, right? Voice AI. I haven't proven this myself, but I was listening to something on APR, and they did a whole episode on GPT-driven, and then they brought in other AI bits. And apparently the people who do voice AI, all they need is 3 seconds of audio and they can completely clone your voice. And I'm like, okay, let's put that in the hands of the fraudsters and the scammers and let's see what happens to society, right? One person can now have sort of the impact. Actually, the way it was described to me is one person will have on in their device the potential to have the negative impact similar to a nuclear bomb.
Well, think about, I mean, this is a deep hole to go into, yeah. but the application of that technology for scammers is massively huge. Brent, let's say you get a call from your son who does not live with you. He lives wherever. And it's his voice saying, "Dad, I'm in trouble. I'm in Mexico. I got to have $5,000 as soon as you can. Please wire it to me." And it's his voice. And what are you going to do?
With the tech that I have available today, I'm going to send $5,000 to some potential fraudster in Mexico.
Got to have code words. He has to say orange banana.
Or I'll probably text him immediately or call him just to get some quick confirm.
They can spoof Sims and intercept that.
Right. This is where I basically say like things like ASI, AGI, right? If there aren't ethics or regulation in play, that's a scary world. In terms of, is the good outweigh the bad? With LLM specifically, I would, in my experience, it probably does, right? The under certain conditions, like I think I posted in the Slack channel, like I absolutely think it's unethical to apply a personality to LLM. Like, the people who don't understand that, yes, this can pass the Turing test, but it is not a thinking entity at all. You are falling in love with a...
Go watch her.
Yeah.
I'm gonna reel you in, Brent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gonna wrap this up.
Do it.
Okay,
great question, Ryan.
That was a great question because now our string of A/B testing podcasts talking about AI is now at 173. No,
glad I could contribute.
Yeah.
No, thank you. That was a great question.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff. I think it's actually, as Jason will tell you, I think testers paying attention to AI is going to become more and more prevalent, because there's that critical thinking that people that come from tests generally have, and thinking about like what is the real problem we're trying to solve here, that's actually pretty important to think about.
Yeah, I think going back to what Brent said earlier, where you know, egos will get in the way, things like that. Going back to, we'll mention Scott Galloway again, but he always says that, you know, the job of corporations is just to make money, right? They're really, really good at it. They shouldn't be in govern any other thing other than to make money. And, you know, regulations and our leaders should be putting things in place. But unfortunately, they haven't been doing that in the last couple of years.
We need to have leaders who aren't 750 years old.
If you keep going down that path, like the problem is people need to be employed in order to give your company money, right? And I don't want to go to like apocalyptic point of view, but I go, okay, this is not a zero-sum game. And one of the things that human society, so if we bring in LLMs, like I'm teaching my daughter, like I'm encouraging her, do things with LLM, don't cheat, but do things with LLM, because it's the human and the machine working together is always going to outperform either one of them working independently. It's just straight up true. So I'm like, AI is part of her life. You need to get familiar with it. You need to understand how to use it as a tool, because that's going to be a differentiator. But as we need to make every other big event that has occurred like this, human society has adapted and found a new way to grow. Okay. That could happen this time. But in terms of the speed at which they're predicting, there is a risk. It may not, right? I don't know. There's a bunch of futurists that are predicting the singularity. I don't know if that's theory or like I don't know what it is, but I'm like, okay, unless we want to see a massive population decrease so that we can restabilize society, right? So we have automation, or we got to go into something like Star Trek where there is no money and it's all altruism. And I'm like, all right, the society I know today is not ready to go to that one.
I'm sorry, Alan. I wound him up again.
You did. I reeled him in and he let him take the line and swim out in the river again.
It's a fun topic.
Yes, yes. We've already had someone in chat rename themselves to HAL 9000. And it wasn't Jason.
No. So,
all right.
All right. Okay. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you, Ryan. Brent?
It's Skynet, not HAL 9000.
Okay. All right. So notice the typing that that Brent was doing while Ryan was talking. That stuff I normally edit out, not happening. You're getting pure, unedited Brent.
Everybody, please comment when you give us a 5-star rating. Please make sure.
We need 5-star ratings.
Please make sure you comment explicitly around the empathy you feel for Alan.
Hey, did I ever press record? Oh, I did. Okay, we're good. I'm good here. But I think, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us. I want to thank the people who have listened to any of our podcasts forever. I want to especially thank the bobblehead Ryan and the bobblehead crew for getting us these things.
Yeah.
I'm going to have so much fun with that. And I don't know if we can do 200 more, but we can do one more and then one more after that. And we'll see what happens.
10 more years.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty old already.
Yeah. There's a chance one of us dies.
So, yeah. So how do you think if we look back in 10 years, like we look back 10 years ago at Microsoft, Alan, that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
What if 10 years from now we look back and go, oh, I remember when Alan was only, yeah, anyway.
You don't
yeah.
talk a lot about your current job, so I don't know what we'll say then.
I don't know either. I try and keep it on the down low in case, you know. Because really what I want to do is I want to email Kara Swisher, and I want to email Jem Psaki and people who have addresses that I can get to from the address book. But that's a whole other story. So, Brent, let's call it a day. This has been episode 200 of AB Testing. I am Alan.
I'm Brent.
And we'll see you for 201 someday.